So good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to session G4, Assessing the Critical Capacity of Local Health Departments in Support of State and National Health IT Goals. My name is Valerie Rogers. I'm the Director of ePublic Health Informatics at the National Association of County and City Health Officials, and I will be your moderator for this morning. Joining me are two panelists. First, we will hear from Dr. Gulzar Shah. Dr. Shah is currently an adjunct professorial lecturer at the Department of Health Policy, George Washington University, and lead research scientist at the National Association of County and City Health Officials. He has designed and implemented and analyzed a survey that is the main source of evidence for this presentation that you will hear today. And he has over 15 years experience in designing and conducting research in public health informatics. And then second, we will hear from Dr. Robert Harmon. Dr. Harmon has served as the director of the Duval County Health Department in Jacksonville, Florida, since August 2006. He also serves as a clinical professor of medicine at the University of Florida College of Medicine in Jacksonville, and clinical professor of public health at the University of North Florida Brooks College of Health. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Dr. Gulzar Shah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. How many of you went to the social event last night? All right. I'm still thinking about the social event. I'm actually not thinking about this presentation, that's the wrong slide. Sorry. That's what I was thinking. All right. I'll be talking about, before I start my presentation, wanted to acknowledge my colleagues, Valerie Rogers and Vanessa Holly sitting on the back row, right there, for contributing significantly to this presentation. So I'll be talking about local health departments' meaningful use readiness, general informatics capacity needs and barriers. So it's based on the two surveys. So basically, before I talk to you about the source of evidence, this is what we'll be talking about. Since the survey on meaningful use readiness is just out of, like, we just closed maybe less than 6-7 days ago, and so data cleaning is happening. These findings are kind of preliminary. The other survey, the informatics, general informatics capacity, that survey was conducted in late 2009, early 2010. So those findings are kind of presented in some reports earlier. So to give you a little bit of idea of what the sampling design, sample size was for those two surveys. So the meaningful use readiness survey was launched at a bad time, when local health departments were dealing with, and so I wanted to bring this up anyway, how there are over 50% local health departments who have lost budget. And so every year, maybe more, but every year, our economic surveillance survey indicated that, so on top of, for example, those 50% who said in the beginning of 2010 that they lost some budget or some sources of revenue, then when they were asked again in 2011, again 50% said that they lost some more. So that's the scenario. Local health departments being really in the situation of budget cuts, staff reduction, program reduction, and here we are asking them like for more time. So I think that was the reason we slightly got slightly dissatisfactory response rate. So we are presenting. So this study, the meaningful use readiness study, is based on 134 responses, which is kind of reasonable for descriptive analysis. So the other one is a informatics capacity survey of 2010. That one is pretty good response rate, pretty good sample size. So we are kind of more confident about the generalizability of those findings. Can folks hear me in the back? Okay. So let's just go over some aspects of meaningful use readiness of the local health departments. All right. So I generally do not like to title my slides with the question that was asked. In this survey, I felt like, you know, it's important for people to know exactly what we asked. Because sometimes when you translate the question into a slide title, it loses its meaning. So I've tried to retain the question rather than giving a more suitable title, saying, for example, by population size, but you can see it is by population size. So the question was, is your local health department able or planning to receive data from meaningful use certified electronic health records system? And these responses are yes responses. 62% of the local health departments indicated that they are either planning to or they are able to receive data for meaningful use from meaningful use certified EHR systems. Now, if we look at the response by the three population categories served by local health departments, we generally refer to these population categories as small, medium, and large. So local health departments serving less than 50,000 population, those serving 50,000 population or more but less than 500,000, and those that served 500,000 population. So you see that clearly, although for the reason that I stated, I did not want to run any statistical tests of significance on this, but you can see that those differences are substantial. They are based on like pretty okay number, pretty good number.
Are you taking questions now, or do you want to
take them? I can take some quick questions that are slide specific now.
Yes. Was there an explanatory note about whether this was receiving the data from the EHR directly or via, for example, the state? So I'm from Washington State. In our state, localities for electronic lab reporting, the ELR flows to the state, and then the data are returned to the LHJs. But they don't have a direct, for example, HL7 messaging stream coming to them. So was that disambiguated here?
So that's a great question, and see, I was ready for it. See, I'm always ready. So that's why I put up the question right there. That's how it was asked. So good feedback for future next survey, but that's how it was asked. You're welcome. All right, so moving on. Of those who said yes to the last question, we asked, you know, if specific to these three systems, reporting systems, electronic lab reporting system, immunization information systems, and syndromic surveillance systems, were the local health departments currently receiving and processing data from a certified electronic health records system for meaningful use? And you should pay attention to the blue bar, which is currently receiving. So for immunization information systems, roughly half of the local health departments who said yes to the last question of yes, they are able to or planning to receive data, they are actually currently receiving data for immunization information systems, and another 17% said that they would be preparing to receive EHR data in 2011, and so forth. And similarly, for electronic lab reporting, 43% said they are currently receiving, and about 21% said that they would be receiving in 2011. Now, syndromic surveillance system got the lowest percent of local health departments who said that they are currently receiving or they are preparing to receive by receive in 2011. All right, so those who said that they are not able to or planning to receive, they were asked about what are the reasons that they are not doing so. So in other words, those who said no to the first slide question were asked this question, and I guess you must have guessed already what would be the most frequent response. It is lack of funding to produce appropriate technology to produce appropriate technologies. And the second one is they did not have an EHR system for communications and so forth, so they required technical assistance. 17% said so. Insufficient staff support, which may also be may be caused by the budget cuts and or lack of funding. So these two might be related, the funding one and the insufficient staff. And some of them, about 15%, were uncertain about meaningful use requirements. All right, so I guess I'm reaching towards the end of slides from our information from our meaningful use, and then we'll move on to the general informatics capacity. So those who said no, they were also asked, are you aware of technical assistance available through your state? And 24% said yes. That means that there are 76% who were not aware that the technical assistance was available through their state. And there is some variation by population size. It's not very consistent by small, medium, and large population sizes. So I won't comment beyond that. And any questions related to the meaningful use data, like specific to those slides, I would be happy to go back, or else we can continue with the general informatics capacity.
There are some risks of not receiving data this year, of like never receiving it in 2011 or 2013. Won't some EHR vendors perhaps just kind of pass over meaningful use requirements if local health departments aren't able to receive it?
That's what I would, that would be my guess. I mean, we haven't studied that, but my colleague Valerie, who is probably, who communicates with locals on more regular basis on informatics capacity, I would let Valerie maybe take a stab at it.
I think it really depends on the state in which local health department is operating. Obviously, there are states such as Florida that you will hear from later this morning that have a very robust system and have embraced local health departments. The state health department has included them in their health IT planning. So certainly we've been encouraging local health departments to be involved in health IT planning, to be communicating with RACs. For the 30% of local health departments across the country, which there are about 2,800 local health departments, we've been encouraging them to get involved at this stage we have many good examples, I think growing examples. Of the 2,800, about 30% provide direct primary care. So obviously, of that small cohort, there are, obviously incentive for them to be participating. And I think Bob can also comment on that.
We work closely with ASTHO, Associated State and Territorial Health Officials, and this is really primarily a state function. And the question is, how well will the state link up to the local health departments in providing the data to them? And I'll be talking about how Florida plans to do that with a website. But there are many different methods. And we serve on JFIT with ASTHO, Joint Public Health Informatics Task Force. This has been discussed. And we're encouraging the states to set up those links. So it's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Thank you, Bob. So just by way of a little background, I would be calling on my colleagues for the recent developments because in my kind of former life, I was like totally an informatics guy working with the Utah State Department of Health. You know, Utah State Department of Health has a pretty good informatics team. And so for about 3 years or so, I'm working with NACHOP specifically on research and evaluation. So I do a lot of research and evaluation and assist with the projects, and then I draw on my colleagues for their expertise that are more in specifically related to this topic. So that's why I would have to probably call on you, Valerie Moore. All right, so moving on. About general informatics capacity. Now, the other day, post-conference, we had an interesting work group meeting. NACHOP's informatics group had an interesting work group meeting. And there was some discussion about, you know, the possibility of changing the name from informatics to e-public health. And so the idea was that would be more encompassing and more consistent with the current realities. And I brought my colleagues' attention to this fact that, you know, the idea that borrowing from the diffusion of innovation theory is that, you know, by the time people are getting a little more comfortable with what is informatics and what are some of the things, if we moved on along to something else, calling it something else, maybe there would be some difficulty. So we you know, talked about another solution and maybe somehow keeping this as a part of the name. So this segment of my presentation would give you some glimpse of how some colleagues at local health departments were pretty right on when asked, you know, what does informatics mean to you? Now, these are the findings from our focus groups. So we, in this study, we also conducted a few focus groups to understand, a little more qualitative issues about informatics capacity of local health departments. So these are some of the responses. They are merely to give you an idea about, you know, how much capacity building is needed for some local health departments. So the first one is, colleagues think that it's just a nonsensical buzzword, and actually somebody said that, so we had that on transcripts. And others thought that it's data and information flow that leads to public health action. So continuing on, it has to do with computers, and that's right, it does. And I mean, it's not wrong, but it's not like it's truth, but not the whole truth. And this is a little more detailed. So some people actually are thinking along the right lines: collecting info, analyzing information for planning and responding, not just emergency situation, day-to-day services for our community. So captured the definition somewhat. Okay, now with the quantitative stuff again from the survey. The question was, who controls the following aspects of informatics for your local health departments? If control is shared, check all that apply. So you see data management. So looking at the red color is individual local health department or program controls the system. And green color is LHD through a central department controls it. So, and then it goes on to with other entities such as city, state health agency, local health department, city, county, LHD and state, and so forth. So that gives you some idea of, so in order to build the capacity, we got to understand who controls it. And so about 23%, for example, control data management that are just individually by the local health departments. 13% control software support, and 23% software selection, and so forth. So I'll let you just look at the slide and see if you have any questions, or we'll move on. The idea is, as I said, to show you that if we were to build capacity, this is an important background, some important background information about local health departments. Yes.
I wonder how that breaks down for small, medium, and large.
Based on the analysis of this data, this information, I would be willing to bet that larger local health departments have more control. And we did analyze almost every possible combination, ended up reporting some. So that's my recollection. All right, so we'll move on. So this is about having sufficient physical infrastructure to do the job. So do you feel that the staff members in your local health department have an adequate level of physical infrastructure to do their jobs? And then we provided some examples of what, just to trigger folks' memories, just provided some examples of what would count in the physical infrastructure. As you see, that about, so all local health departments, the last one here, 32% said that all staff, and 48% said that most staff had adequate physical infrastructure. So that is not, the situation is not as bad as some may have thought. 15% said that a few staff, and only about 4% said that no staff had sufficient infrastructure. So it just depends on how you look at this information. You know, that old adage of, is the glass half full or half empty? So when I look at, for instance, the budget cut situation, some folks say, okay, let's present the information about, okay, so if 44% local health department had a reduced budget, that means what? That means over 50% had, 56% or so had increased budget. So I'm saying that, so I would say to them, you know, it depends on how you want to process the information. For those who are 44%, are they going to basically be able to borrow from others who don't? Probably not. So for these 4%, so thinking in the same line, I think that even if it's a small percentage, that's like something noteworthy, that if 4% of our local health departments, and imagine how many there are, roughly 2,800 local health departments, so that adds up to some number. So the next one is, identify the top three areas of general. So the next two slides are about what are some areas of development for staff. So first question is top three areas for general staff development, and the next slide would be about specifically about IT or informatics staff. What are some of areas of development? I think that the idea was that by identifying these, NACHO and others should be able to maybe get some direction for policy. Maybe funding agencies would get ideas about what kind of initiatives to fund. So using clinical data to improve quality of care. Now, this is kind of difficult graph, so let me give you a little more detail about how to read it. So the way the question was asked, since a bunch of categories were provided with an open-ended response option also, we wanted folks to be able to rank their first priority and second priority and third priority. So one way of looking at this information is, what was the top priority for the, like, what was the top highest frequency for the first priority? Using word processing, spreadsheet, and presentation software was. So 18% said so. 17% said basic computing skills, and so forth. But collectively, if you look at the, either they were their top priority, second top, or third priority, so this is how it looked like, that if we counted all three priorities together, this is the order in which people indicated that these are the areas of development for the staff, using clinical data, using word processing, and that's, so that's pretty basic. So that's pretty telling, 18%. 12% and 17% altogether chose this as either their first priority, second priority, or third priority for the staff development. Basic computing skills, using and interpreting quantitative data, using and interpreting qualitative data, and maintaining a website are some of the other areas. Now, this is the one that I was talking about. Top three areas for IT or informatics staff development. Now, the same schema of noticing their responses was used. So let's just look at, for instance, first priority, developing requirements for the informatics system development is one of the, was the top priority, both by just looking at the first priority or looking at first, second, and third priority all together. Designing and running reports from information system was the next. Conducting business process analysis and redesign. Project management, and I was heartbroken to see using GIS system was the last. And I don't know what it means, though, because that's one of areas of my interest. So we recently, you know, I was involved in developing GIS shape files for the local health departments to be used for a variety of purposes, and not probably the time to go in details. But I don't know what it means. Does it mean that locals already have that capacity and that's why it's not? No, so, okay. It's just that it, please. So to me, super user means that there are, so there are information systems, and there are, like, I would think that it's a beta tester user.
So the concept of super user was a person who is not an informatician or informaticist, but generally having a programmatic person who is well versed in, helping with requirements, who is able to, create dashboards or useful information from data, sort of that well-rounded person, that probably go-to programmatic person. I believe that's how it was described in the description of what a super user will be within the survey.
Okay, great. So now, last few slides, barriers to informatics training. And you could have again guessed, time away from other duties, but also cost of training. What are some of the others? Distance to the training that may also be related with cost, and lack of knowledge about courses. See, restrictions on pending grant funding, so you can't probably spend those funds that are available, but they are tied to some certain task. And there are other priorities for training. So biggest barriers to implementation, information systems, and Valerie is going to give me 2 minutes for the time that was taken for discussion, right? Okay. So biggest barriers to implementation, insufficient funding, and no time, resources to divert from program activities, lack of project management staff, no one with the technical skills to support the system. So now these are in the frequency with which these factors were indicated, but when you look at them in terms of the magnitude or the number of people who said so, so about half of the respondents thought that funding was the main reason that they cannot implement information systems. So those who were, and it was a small percentage, so those among those who are involved in using EHR, they were asked what are the challenges they were experiencing. So workforce training was the challenge, interoperability, managing staff, ongoing maintenance costs, and so forth. So these are some of the challenges for those who have already started using for primary care. Now, these quotes are from the focus group, and they may not, I'm not trying to give you a full picture of challenges, but to give you a flavor of what people thought, and they have pretty deep meaning. So it's very simple, one-liner or two-liner, it was a choice. Use the people to get vaccine, use the people to put the information in the computers. So that tells you that, you know, when there are competing priorities, then that some, there are other tasks, for example, maybe direct service provision might take precedence. Are your LHDs, information systems, compatible enough with each other to allow the electronic exchange of data? And you see that only about 16% said none of the systems can share data. Some can share data, 52%, and all can share data was also really small, 14%. And now, I'm not going to claim that everybody understood the same thing when we asked this question. Now, I'm not going to claim that it means the same thing to everybody. But just take it at its face value, but it still tells you something. So what are the entities with which LHDs electronically exchange data? I think I like this slide. So I wasn't sure actually about this till I saw this information from the survey. 94% of the local health departments share information with state health departments, 47% with other local health departments, with labs, with other healthcare providers, with hospitals and so forth. So this is some of the entities with which local health department exchange data most frequently, and the type of information exchange is also listed here. Individual notifications of reportable disease. Now my vision is beginning to blur for some reason, or is it too small a font? Maybe both. Okay. So this gives you an idea. So immunization information, health alerts, aggregate counts of diseases, syndromic surveillance data, lab results, and so forth. Knowledge management display used by local health departments. This is an interesting slide here. So in what are the forms of display of knowledge, or what are some of the mechanisms to manage knowledge? And spreadsheets and charts, 78% thought. So that was the highest frequency of response in this. Use of Web 2.0 technologies, and so Facebook, Twitter. Facebook was used, and I suspect that since survey happened about a year and a half ago or more, now maybe it has gone up. But at that time, 47% said yes. And 37% said yes to Twitter. And I saw an interesting ribbon here. Valerie is wearing it. It says, I tweet. And I missed on that. So, yeah. So 37% do tweet. And what else? Blogging, MySpace. We use MySpace also? No. Purposes for which they were used, and I'm not going to go over conclusions because they are basically a summary of the things you've already seen. And I would like to acknowledge Center for Disease Control and Prevention for funding this project, and also like to acknowledge the contribution of the project advisory work group. And if you have questions that you are shy to ask, you can always send me an email at gshah@nature.org.
Thank you, Gulzar.
You're welcome.